As an only child growing up, my playtime would often involve just me, by myself, delving into the depths of my imagination. I would act out elaborate stories of adventure and action, heroism, and, okay, a little bit of romance every now and then. In these stories in my imagination, there were princes and princesses. There were daring rescues and more than a few sword fights. I grew up watching a lot of Errol Flynn movies with my dad. I loved creating these adventures for myself. And of course, there was always a happy ending since I was the creator of the story. There was safety in these adventures. There was never any real danger, only imagined danger. I created the situations, and I would create a way out of trouble. Then, as I got into school as an avid reader, I discovered the Create Your Own Adventure stories. Did any of your kids or grandkids read these? At the end of every chapter, you would be faced with a choice. Do you jump off the cliff? If so, turn to page 24. If you turn around and run at the attackers, turn to page 37. I loved these books. Again, I could choose the level of danger that I wanted to submit the characters to. I could choose the easier path for them. I was in control. And then in junior high and high school and into college, I began to do theater. I fell in love with the stage at an early age. I would watch my aunt and my cousin and perform in local community theater. I would go to plays, even the ballet and the opera. Once again, there was adventure. There were these grand stories. And these all captured my imagination. But there was also a bit of control I learned when I started participating in theater. After all, I held the script in my hand. I knew exactly what was going to happen. There was control. Movements were even planned out in advance. I knew exactly what was going to happen and when. I knew who was going to say what and where. And then, in my theater classes, we began to do improv. We would just be given a scenario, something pretty generic. You're in an ice cream shop. You work behind the counter. You're the customer. Okay, go. And we would have to create a story. There would have to be some sort of conflict and some sort of resolution, but we were not allowed to discuss it or pre-plan anything. There was no control. No idea what was going to happen next. Can you take a guess how well I liked improv? Remember, I told you last week I was a control freak. Yeah, I don't like improv at all. Not a bit. There is just too much unknown, too much out of my control. I found improv to be stressful, not exciting, dangerous, not adventurous. So you can imagine my reaction as I was reading in preparation for this morning, and I came across a passage by one of my favorite Christian authors, N.T. Wright. He was writing about Scripture, about the Bible and our relationship with us, with it, and he said that the Bible was like a five-act play, full of drama, full of surprise, wherein the people of God are invited into the story to improvise the unfinished final act. He said that our ability to faithfully execute our roles in this drama depends on our willingness to enter into the narrative, to see how our own stories intersect with the grander epic of God's redemption of the world. Every page of Scripture offers an invitation to wonder, to wrestle, and to surrender to the adventure. Discipleship is improv. Ugh. Surrender to the adventure? doesn't really sound like something I would enjoy all that much. But I know I'm not the first reluctant God follower, and I know I won't be the last. Our scripture reading today, we find Joshua, who, even if he wasn't a pure reluctant follower, he was at least a little hesitant. Well, he was a follower of God, but a leader of God's people. Joshua had been handpicked by Moses to be Moses' successor. He'd been working alongside Moses for a while as the Israelites wandered in the wilderness. Scholars believe that Joshua was fairly young, maybe in his 20s. Most likely had been born during this wandering time. Joshua had probably never lived as a slave in Egypt. Moses chose him, this young man, to be his right-hand man. But now Moses has died. The Israelites are on the bank of the Jordan River, ready to cross into the promised land that they have been waiting for four decades to get to do. And now this young man must pick up the mantle and lead the people. I can't even imagine the pressure that was on him. Moses, the beloved leader, the man who literally spoke to God, is gone. And now Joshua is expected to take his place. How in the world could you imagine it would be to step into that role? How could he be all that Moses was to the people? How could God expect this young man to lead the people into the promised land? I can imagine that even the most courageous, even the most faith-filled of us would cower at the enormity of the task that laid before Joshua. You know, I don't think it's any accident that in these 9 verses, just 9 verses, God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous, not once, not twice, 3 times. 3 times in 9 verses, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. God is reminding Joshua that as long as he and the people are following God's commands, God will be with them. God will protect them. God will not leave them. God is telling Joshua to be strong, to have no fear, for God is with them. Now, in our Coffee with Jesus strip today, here we have Lisa. Lisa is a housewife. And she's got a little bit different attitude about this. She says, "What can I do for you today, Jesus?" Boy, she's excited, isn't she? Jesus says, "Well, that's refreshing, Lisa. Keep your eyes open. You'll know it when you see it." "Oh, this is exciting. It's like I'm on a secret mission. Who knew following you could be such fun?" And Jesus says, "I never intended it to be drudgery, Lisa." Man, Lisa is ready to go. "What can I do for you today?" she asks. There doesn't seem to be any fear in her. She's ready to embrace the adventure. Lisa is all in. But I can't help but notice that Jesus tells her, "Keep your eyes open. Be aware." Jesus tells her that she will recognize her opportunities to be of service when she sees them. And that got me to thinking, am I too afraid of letting go of my control that I'm not even looking for the opportunities that God is placing before me? Am I willing to trust God enough to let go of my control? Because you see, that was the thing about improv that I hated. I didn't trust the people I was doing it with. Because I didn't have the trust, it wasn't safe. Do I trust God enough to participate in this improv? It's the key question to discipleship. Because the life of faith isn't checking off a to-do list. Baptism? Check. Confirmation? Check. Attend church weekly? Check. That's not how it works. In a life of discipleship, we are asked to let go of the steering wheel of our lives and trust that God has it. We are asked to die to the ways of this world so that we can be resurrected in ways that are better, in ways that are more loving, more fulfilling than our old ways. A life of discipleship means letting God choose our adventure, always. We don't get to choose to go to page 24 or 37. God gets to pick. And once we surrender, once we relinquish that control to God, then God gives us opportunities to love how Christ loved. And that sounds beautiful. But let's remember that Christ loved sacrificially. Jesus gave his all. He said that the best, most purest form of love was to lay down one's life for another. God will put in front of us chances to make a real difference in people's lives by giving of ourselves in ways that we never thought possible before, and quite frankly, in ways that may not be comfortable or safe. But in order to do that, we must be strong and courageous. We must be strong in faith, knowing that our God is in control and can handle whatever comes next. Not that God will give us a fairy tale ending, and not that everything will be smooth sailing, but that God can work through whatever comes about to bring good. Whether that good is growth on our part or being a help to someone else. We must be strong in our desire to serve God, and that means that we put God first, above ourselves, above our families, above our country. God comes first. And we will do whatever God calls us to do, rather than linger in our own routines and our own comfort zones. And we must be strong in love. In these days where it is too easy to fear, too easy to point fingers, and far too easy to hate, we must be strong in love. Love of God, love of all humankind. All humankind. And love of God's creation that nurtures and sustains us. Now, this is going to require us to stand up for what is right, for what is good, and for what is just. But to do so in a way that does not alienate or shame others, rather to do all of this in love, requires us to be open to listening to others, but to stand firm in God's ways and to gently bring others along. And friends, we must be courageous. Courageous enough to stand with the oppressed. Courageous enough to love those who are just unlovable. Courageous enough to stand in the face of those who call us old-fashioned or idealistic or naive and love them. Courageous enough to believe that love is stronger than hate. And that God's kingdom will come here on earth as it is in heaven. And so today I pray that we all ask, as Lisa asks, what can I do for you today, Jesus? Because Jesus promises her and each and every one of us that a life of discipleship isn't drudgery. It's a glorious adventure. So let's trust and get moving. Amen.